From Duval, Washington, it's the 407 Cast. Here's your host, RSD Superintendent, Dr. Susan Leach.
Hello, and welcome to the 407 Cast, your window into the dynamic world of education in the Riverview School District, where we discuss our achievements, the challenges we face, and the innovative ways we are accelerating learning, and we're excited you chose to listen in. Hello, I'm excited for today's guest, Laurelyn Mahler, music teacher at Cherry Valley Elementary School. Welcome, Laurelyn.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are coming off of just seeing your music showcase at the school. It was just such an incredible night, and I was talking about this at our board meeting last night, but I think you had already left. I love watching how you work with kids because it's just masterful. There's so much energy. It reminds me a lot of when we watch Mike Stone because the students are so engaged but happy. Kids aren't nervous. They're enjoying themselves. I think that's an art for you to be able to accomplish both of those things. They're learning something new and challenging. They're trying to master it, but they're still engaged and having a lot of fun. I would love to know the path that led you to being an elementary music school teacher.
I've done music all my life. My parents had me in piano lessons when I was four. And so it's been something that I always feel comfortable with. It's funny because I'm now teaching kids how to read music, and I myself don't remember learning how to read music because I was so young when I did it. Yeah. So that's been a cool process. But I've been teaching for 8 years. I graduated college thinking that I was going to be a high school choir director. I landed my first job as an elementary teacher and very quickly fell in love with it, especially in my second and third years. I taught for a few years in Omaha, Nebraska, in a really big school district there, in a school similar size to Cherry Valley. Had some extra assignments during the pandemic in that district, and then my husband and I relocated out here, and I did some long-term subbing for different music teachers in Lake Washington. And I did not think there was a chance that a Riverview music job would open up, but it happened to open up right in time for me to jump in, and I love that I get to work in the community where I live. It is so fun to really get the experience of being a member of this big community. It is just such a privilege.
It is very different when you've come from a larger district and they tend to be more, I don't know, you're more anonymous because it's such a large place and you come here and it's so very different. It's been a huge adjustment in a very good way for me. You were one of those teachers that I very distinctly remember being told, we cannot lose her. We have to find some place for her. She's amazing. So we're glad you're here as well. What to you is so important for kids to have music during their day at school?
I think there's two parts to think about this. There's the elementary music experience, which is general music. Every child takes it. And then there's secondary music, which is ensembles usually. They're two very different things and I think equally necessary. But for me in general music, my intention as the music teacher has been to help students get to a place by the time they finish elementary school that they are able to feel that they have some command of the basic literacy skills and a sense that they are able musicians. Because I see so many older kids and adults who are now curious about music at a certain point in their lives and feel that it's just something they can't do, they don't know how to do. And I want students, with the limited time that they have in music class, elementary school, I want them to leave with the opposite feeling. It's something they have done. It's something they can do. It's something that if they decide they want to do again in the future, they have the foundational skills, or at least they remember that at one time they had the foundational skills. I think it's really important to create that sense of agency for kids. Music is very fun. It's very creative. And I also think it can be so much more than that in terms of helping kids build up a sense of confidence and really challenge themselves cognitively. And my joy in elementary music is seeing kids go from singing silly songs in kindergarten and learning basic things like loud and soft and high pitches and low pitches to, in fifth grade, working their way through reading a score of music, which has multiple parts written at once, and they're not completely literate. They've only had music once a week, but it's a good foundation, and seeing them take pride and realize how much they've accomplished over the years is really cool. And as students enter middle school and high school and they're figuring out who they are and what their place in the world is, and they're seeking that rigor and that sense of community and that sense of success, wanting to be part of something bigger than their individual self, I think that ensembles is a place where kids find that and experience that and are very motivated to try and be as good as they can, because it's not just them. It's not just a grade. No choir is graded by how great they sound by the time they go to the concert. It's this communal experience, and everyone has a part to play. I myself have always favored singing in a group than singing alone. I really strongly believe that the ensembles are a place where students can access that rigor and that challenge and have that connecting experience that kids are missing a lot.
So for someone who doesn't have a great deal of knowledge about how music through the school system works, when you say as they get into the older grades, they can get into ensembles, can you describe what you mean by that? What options are there and what can they do?
Yeah, an ensemble is any group of people making music together. I even call my little color groups in music class ensembles. In our district, we currently offer 4th and 5th grade elementary choir, which is newly offered during the school day. We're really, really thankful to our elementary administrators for supporting that. We've had great participation. Tolt Middle School has, I believe, a 6th grade choir and a 7th and 8th grade choir, which are during the school day. They also have vocal jazz before school. And kids singing vocal jazz are coming in at something like 7 in the morning. They are there because they want to be there. And the choir director there, Mrs. Snavely, is taking her time to have that ensemble too. And then in the middle school, there's 3 bands. One is for beginning students, and then there's 2 more advanced bands as students get more experience, they move up. There's also 2 jazz bands and a jazz lab, which is very cool and unique for especially a small district where kids get together and they can jam. And that is a whole nother cognitive level that it is amazing to me that those young kids can do that. And then at the high school, they have smaller numbers at this time. My understanding is a lot of that is due to the pandemic. The kids who would have been getting into those things in middle school and elementary school, they didn't, because it was not very fun to be in an ensemble online. It's not really something you can do. But they have choir, they have vocal jazz, they have excellent concert band, marching band, and jazz band as well.
I want to go back to something that you said before about grading. Could you describe how you grade at the elementary level? What do students get graded on? Or is there a grade?
Many students of mine are very surprised to learn that they get graded in in music, but we grade them in 2 categories. One is participation. In my mind, I view that more as effort. For some students, their biggest effort may not look like the same amount of participation as another child. And then there's also a skills grade, which is based on a point system of 0 through 4 points, 4 being advanced. What I do is each grading period, I plan 3 to 4 assessments for all students in a grade level. Usually one is just me listening to them sing, and I am not asking them to come up and sing to me. We're playing a game. Most of them have no idea that I'm listening to them sing. And it's just a chance for me to assess, are they matching pitch? If so, how often, how close are they? And depending on the interval, how far off from the pitch that we're hoping for, I have a score that gets assigned to them. This is not weighted very heavily. Mm-hmm. This is more for my own information. Students are also graded on their ability to listen to a rhythm that's performed and write it out for themselves, or vice versa, read something out loud. But it's a lot of literacy skills that are very challenging for students, but it's worth keeping track of to see their progress. And I take a composite score out of the average of the 3 to 4 assessments. And that's their skills grade for that grading period.
We've had teachers on the podcast, and we ask how they're teaching to different levels. How do you do that for music? How do you make sure that everybody, regardless of their level of ability, is participating?
That is something that I feel I am always going to be growing in, because it is difficult. A music class a lot of times is asking all the kids to do the same thing at the same time, which is opposite of differentiation. Things that I really am intentional in terms of laying a groundwork is that mistakes are allowed in our expectations review game. That's like one of the questions. Are mistakes allowed? And they're expected, and you're going to make them, and nobody's here to be perfect. We're all here to do the best that we can do, and we're all here to contribute to learning together. I think that creating that environment that is very communal and very inviting is the most important thing I can do for differentiation. I also have, when students are working on writing out a rhythm that they heard, I have a variety of manipulatives. I can offer some students certain manipulatives to help them get going when they're working on figuring those things out, and add a lot of the traditional supports that classroom teachers will do in terms of reducing the amount of work or helping a student get started and making sure that they have an on-ramp to doing the work.
What do you do when students are super shy? And I'm asking this from personal experience, that don't want to be up in front of a group or in front of a full auditorium of parents.
Oh, that's a great question. No student is required to go up. This year, I had almost 500 students in the school. There was only one student who did not want to go on stage and instead watch the performance, which is totally fine if that's what they want to do. I do not have the goal of traumatizing any child. I want them to have a good experience. That's the most important thing. In terms of nerves and being apprehensive about performing, something that I try to say a lot to encourage kids is that their biggest question is, what if I make a mistake? And I think the better question is, what do I do when I make the mistake I'm definitely going to make? And I promise all the kids that I'm going to make them too. There's not a single performer in history who's walked off the stage wishing they hadn't done something differently. And normalizing that we are not here to be perfect. We are here to show what we have learned and show what we can do. To appreciate that for ourselves is something that we put together. That tends to bring a lot of kids around. I also like to ask them to think about not how they're going to feel during the first song, but how they're going to feel when the audience is cheering for them after the first song. A lot of the nerves start to melt away for kids at that moment. And I also encourage them to try it, because those kinds of things get scarier and harder the more that you avoid them. Exposing yourself, being brave and going for it is a great thing to do. Ultimately, it's up to the kids, and there are occasionally kids who choose not to perform, but they all also have a dress rehearsal right before they perform, usually the same day of school. So they kind of have already done it once, and the dress rehearsal is not very optional. They're at school already. So yeah, those are some things that we do to help them feel ready to go.
Let's just take a moment and listen in. Like you to talk about the grant that you were awarded from the Riverview Education Fund that allowed your students to have an audience with the Seattle Symphony. If you could just talk about that whole process from start to finish.
Absolutely. So when I first started teaching in Omaha, this was a program. It's called Link Up. It's run through Carnegie Hall and it is available widely throughout the whole world. It's an international program and different professional symphonies around the world do this program as an annual offering to their community. And it's something that I had known about but never pursued. And so I started looking into seeing what it would take for us to go, because the Link Up program designs a curriculum and they choose repertoire and they write singing and instrumental parts that are third, fourth, and fifth grade friendly. And this is an experience that I really believe students should have, largely because so many people grow up never having heard live music in a quality space. And it is such a unique experience and something that you just cannot get by putting on headphones or going to a school concert. It's not quite the same. And I really believe that students should have that experience before they are grown, because they may not ever get it. So I started looking into what it would take. It wasn't actually particularly expensive. We needed a recorder for each child, and the symphony charged a registration fee for each classroom that attended. And I wrote up a ref grant requesting the funding, explaining why I believed that this would be a neat program for many of the reasons I just said. And I didn't tell the students all school year. I just kept telling them, there's a surprise coming. So the grant got approved in November. And in January, when we were getting ready to start the unit, I told the students that, oh, there's this program. It's so cool. I would really love to do it. And guess what? We're going to get to do it. And they were like so excited. It was adorable. I wish I could have filmed their reactions. But then the following week, they got recorders. We talked about expectations for taking them home, being responsible. They were not going to get another one if they forgot to bring it to music class. They were going to get a recorder with no mouthpiece, so they only had their hands to play with. And I think there were very few kids who forgot the recorder more than once. And we started preparing, and the theme of this year's Link Up concert was the orchestra swings. So it was all swing music. And that's, again, that's chosen by the symphony. I did not choose that music. But it was so funny because at first I had a lot of comments like, can't we play music that we like? Why are we doing this music? And by the time they're performing, as you saw, they really enjoyed it. Some kids were dancing while they sing. It's such a joy always to see kids come around to music after experiencing it repeatedly, because that's an experience I've had my whole life, is I'm not sure how I feel about this piece, and now I work on it and improve, and it comes to be something I really love because you learn to appreciate it. So in January, we started practicing, learning really basic things, how to play the first note on the recorder, how to play the next note on the recorder, and students eventually learned to play four notes. They were also reading those notes on the staff, which was a pretty new skill for them. So for a lot of them, it was pretty overwhelming. And it was my first time teaching recorder. So I reached out to my colleague at Carnation Elementary, who gave me a lot of helpful tips for helping them succeed. And that was a real shift point for me in terms of seeing students get successful and start really enjoying. But the first, I'd say, 3 weeks of working on playing the recorder, echoing what I play, and reading some music, I was kind of doubting if students were going to feel successful. I was doubting whether I had set them up for success, whether I had given them enough time, or whether I was just too out of my depth. And they were so motivated to get better. And I felt like all I had to do was give them the tools and the time. My lunch happened to align with their recess, so they could come in and we had practices during recess, and they improved so much. So by the time we got to the performance, I'm watching all these little 80 fingers move on the recorders, and they're moving at the same time, and they're playing the same notes together, and they're looking at the music and reading, and It was just so rewarding to see all of that growth, not only to see the growth for myself, but to watch the students see their own growth. Mm-hmm. It is so tangible to be able to hear yourself then raising your hand going, I can't do this. I don't know why you're doing this to us. You know, this is a little too hard for me, Mrs. Mueller. I don't think I can do this, to being really excited to share.
I will say that when we were driving over to the concert, we were laughing that they would be playing Hot Cross Buns, and we were very surprised. We were very surprised to walk in and hear swing music, very fun, upbeat, watching the kids playing and dancing to the music, and it was just such an enjoyable night. So glad that we were able to be there and that you invited us to that, because it was truly fun.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you happen to play the recorder at the concert? I walked around. And you did?
Yeah, so we all did. We all did.
Had you played one before?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I did not go to public school in elementary, and I actually have been thinking about this as you've been describing how technical your work is, because in elementary, I went to Catholic school, and we really didn't have music teachers that were music teachers. Whoever your classroom teacher was, and sometimes you got a music book and you sang songs, but I never learned anything formal. I was fascinated to listen to how much you do and how much students learn. So, yeah, it was a first for me.
Well, you're extra brave to try it, and I appreciate it.
It was very fun. You made it very non-threatening.
So, a little bit of context. At this recorder performance, I had a bucket of extra recorders in our storage room in the classroom. So I set out this 5-gallon bucket and asked parents to come up and try it out. And they did. We ran out of recorders. It was very exciting. And I was so struck by how much the adults sounded like the kids on their first few weeks.
Yes, I can imagine.
And I wasn't intending to go around asking the fourth graders to give adults advice, but I ended up doing that because I thought, I think we have an opportunity here. And I hope that especially the parents who have been watching their children learn this skill were able to get a little bit of appreciation for what it took for the kids to learn.
At last night's board meeting, we adopted a proclamation for Music in the Schools Month. And I think that there was a very united front. Every music teacher in our school district was there and was able to talk about their program. If you could add on to that a little bit about the work that you are doing as a group.
Yeah, well, we so appreciate you giving that proclamation. That was really fun for us and exciting for us to hear. Music staff in this district happens to all be relatively new to this district. None of us are brand new to teaching music. We've all been doing it for at least a few years, but we have all come since the pandemic. Of course, that had a huge impact on students' music education. Mm-hmm. We have spent a lot of time working together to think about how to educate the community about what we offer. And we have also brought back the elementary choirs. Mm-hmm. We've started a choir camp that for now is annual. We did it twice last year, but we're thinking possibly annually going forward, which is like a 1-day Saturday event where
I've been to that. Yeah. It's really great.
It was really fun. Fourth and fifth graders can come to Tolt Middle School. We have middle school and high school camp counselors. And at the end of the day, after 1 day of lots of hard work and lots of fun and getting to meet the middle school and high school teachers who are like way cooler than us elementary teachers, the kids put on a concert, and it's just a really fun day. This year we had over 100 kids on the stage on a Saturday, you know, of their own choosing, which was really fun. And we hope that as we start to integrate more music into the school day at the elementary level, that students feel more educated about the options they have going forward into middle and high school. And if they think that that is an opportunity they want to take advantage of, they don't miss out. As a department, we have been talking about this, planning with this, working with the band boosters, reaching out to the community, planning community events, all in an effort to help the community see that we are here and we are here as one department and excited to offer music at every level to every kid who wants it.
And I would believe that that's very well received in this community who really values all of the arts.
Absolutely. I myself went to a high school the same size as Cedar Crest, and it was in Iowa, where the culture of music in the schools is apparently quite different. But we had over 400 kids in our school band. We had almost 300 kids in our school choir, multiple full-time teachers, and I'm very grateful to have that vision of what a like really big, thriving program can look like, because it helps bring us as a department together as we try to figure out where we might be able to take things in the next few years.
It has been such a pleasure talking to you today about all things music, and I think today we're going to change our bumper music out so that we can showcase the music that's happening in our schools. So thank you, and join us again next week when we continue our conversations around all things education.
Come on.